Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm all good, Oliver. But yeah, I'm feeling good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm glad you're well. I'm exhausted. we'll start off with the news that's filtered through from ROH Wrestling, mostly the app. Matt Taven has had surgery on his right ankle, and it's been successful. Yeah, the next piece of news is Nicole Savoy, Andrew Everett, and Rey Harus are all going to appear in Atlanta and Concord on the January shows. What do we make of that, Steve?
I'm really excited. Rey Harus and Nicole Savoy had great matches at Fall Out, and Andrew Everett, as we said when we were off or not recording, has appeared in Ring of Honor a few times previously, and has obviously appeared in Impact and various other places on the independents. And it'll be really good to see what they're able to do over in Atlanta. So I'm excited. Some fresh faces again to Ring of Honor. Something new for 2019, and excited to see who they'll be facing when they do come back to the company when they come to Atlanta.
Yeah. Obviously, Nicole Savoy was fantastic at Final Battle Fallout.
Yeah.
Andrew Everett, I've seen bits and pieces of, like I said, from the Impact perspective. I've also seen some of his PWG work.
Yeah.
And obviously, Rey Harus, you talked about in really glowing fashion.
Yeah.
Before the Fallout match against Flip Gordon as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to see him take on new opponents and hopefully tear it up in Atlanta and Concord, respectively. Next piece of news, and probably the last piece of news that we've got, is PJ Black said to the last real man, Silas Young, that because he's done such a good job with Josh the Goods Woods, that PJ Black himself could be a mentor and he could mentor anyone. Well, Silas Young took this and decided to play a joke on PJ Black by giving him Brian Johnson. And Brian Johnson didn't like this and has said no to being mentored. What do you make of this situation?
I think it's interesting. I think Brian Johnson is one of those guys who I've not seen a lot of, but I see a ton of potential in him.
Absolutely.
And maybe something like this would, this mentorship could be an interesting sort of dynamic or feud between, you know, Silas Young and PJ Black and Josh Woods and Brian Johnson. I mean, it's it's worked wonders for Silas Young and Josh Woods. I mean, you know, we've seen how good they've been over the past 7 weeks and how much their tag matches have impressed us. So, I mean, PJ Black and Brian Johnson could do the same. They could have a really strong feud going through to 2020. So, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, and obviously with Brian Johnson and PJ Black being different characters, in PJ Black you got a face, and in Brian Johnson you've pretty much got a heel.
Yeah.
Johnson could turn on PJ Black down the line, and then they can feud on the back of being tag team partners who don't get along. So
yeah,
it could be quite interesting. Okay, so out of the news, we're going to go into another 5 minutes or less ROH star spotlight. And this week's choice is the much maligned, but one of Stephen's favourite stars in ROH, Matt Taven.
Yeah.
And Stephen, you can go right about now.
Yeah, so Matt Taven has been in the company for, I can't believe it's been 6 years that he's been in Ring of Honor. Brilliant TV champion. That's where I first was introduced to him, when he faced Adam Cole at the 11th anniversary show, and I didn't really know what to make of him at first, but for some reason there's just these wrestlers who grab you and they're just able to just you're able to take to them. And Matt Taven was one of those guys who I've just always seen a lot in. He was a member of the original Kingdom, and then he's become the leader of the sort of second generation Kingdom. So he's been in several incarnations of a really pivotal stable in the company's history. And he's just had some really strong feuds against, you know, Jay Lethal. He faced Adam Cole several times. He's got a really unique moveset as well. Like, he's sort of tailored his craft from just being a sort of pretty face to being a really strong, hardened wrestler. And it played dividend when he finally won the Ring of Honor World Championship earlier this year as well, which I was really pleased about. And although his reign wasn't the best Ring of Honor title reign, I was just so pleased that he was able to finally win the belt. Because I feel that he's worked his socks off for several years, and he's really, really made an impression in the company to be able to be a Ring of Honor World Champion. Former six-man champion, former tag team champion, you know, so a bit like Jay Lethal, as I mentioned last week. You know, he's a Grand Slam champion in the current incarnation of the company as well. So he's got a lot of, he's got a lot of, stock behind him. And yeah, I mean, he's just always had a really unique, as I just mentioned, unique moveset, you know, from working down in Mexico as well. He's got a really strong following down there in CMLL. And he's had some great feuds with Ultimo Guerrero and the other luchador. It might be Atlantis. I think it's Atlantis I'm thinking of, who he's also had several matches with. And yeah, he's just a really strong wrestler in the company, and he is also, which is really cool as well, he's got his own training school as well with Mike Bennett, so he's able to train future stars coming up through the ranks, because he's always really, really good at those fundamentals, the things like a lot of Ring of Honor wrestlers have always struggled with the sort of TV aspect of wrestling, but Matt Taven's one of those guys where he's always been really engaged with the camera and really engaged with the audience through the screen, which I think is something which doesn't get promoted enough and celebrated enough, because he does get a lot of criticism, unfortunately, which I don't feel is fair, because I feel that he's, you know, a very talented, all-around strong wrestler. I hope people are able to go back, and if, again, like with Dalton Castle, if anyone wants any Matt Taven matches recommending, or if anyone wants me to, you know, recommend any promos or moments, then just let me know later on, or any hate mail as well, as we always joke about, any hate mail about Matt Taven, send it through to my Twitter handle, which we'll mention later in the show.
Fantastic. And this time it was with a minute and a half to spare.
Getting better.
So you've no longer got 5 minutes, Stephen, and you've brought that on yourself. It's going to be either 4 minutes or 3:30 from now on. So yeah, going into the seventh episode, once again, lots of clips and a couple of matches. So first up was Loser Loses Their Mask. El Villanisto. I wonder who that could be. And G-Fair Cobb. No idea who that is.
No.
Against Delirious and Mini Delirious, even though he had Swoggle on his pants. and there was a 619. I'm not sure of Cambridge's area code. And then GFA Cobb hits with a moonsault and pins Mini Delirious Swoggle and Swoggle, Mini Delirious takes off his mask, and we're all shocked to the core that it's Swoggle. What did you make of this, Stephen?
I thought it was good fun, and I thought it was amusing, and I mean, we only really saw a really brief part of the match, but it looked like it was good fun, and it was definitely amusing, and you know, we didn't get to see much of Delirious, but I've always been a big fan of Delirious and his character, and It was a good fun sort of segment, and the ending where Swoggle hugged Delirious, I thought that was really amusing as well. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny.
Just inoffensive fun, isn't
it,
really?
Exactly.
You know, they say that ROH is too serious or has been too serious. This was just hilarious.
Yeah.
Not sure what the full match would be, and for people watching a full match, but I don't care. I enjoyed this, and you enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's clip-based, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we go into a six-man tag full match between the Villain Enterprises, Flip Gordon, Kenny King with Amy Rose, and the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle, against Beer City Bruiser, Brawler, Milanos. Did I get that one correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm tired, Steve, and I've got to run these things by you. And their tag team partner, Cheeseburger. So what I got out of this match, and I'll come to your thoughts in a second, is I thought it was a fun match. Once again, Beer City Bruiser just stands out to me. The way he was trying to bite Flip, Kenny King, and Dalton Castle. He says he's got no teeth, which is just hilarious. And then the fans chant, "Let him bite." And I heard it happen, and obviously half asleep. And I'm like, I've got to get this taken down in note form, what they were chanting, because the whole little bit of a segment was just so funny. I obviously listened to it first on, and I was like, nope, we've got to write that down. Yeah, so I thought that was hilarious. And then Flip refusing to fly and kind of flipping the fans off was really cool as well. Really puts across his new character. So I thought that was fantastic. And then Kenny King being sneaky, snidey, cheater that his character is, pulling Cheeseburger's tights to get the win. So that's just my kind of brief thoughts across the match. What did you make of it on the whole, Stephen?
I thought it was another really fun, energetic, exciting match. And one of my favourite moments was when Cheeseburger was crawling through Todd Sinclair's legs to get the tag, and he was pulling them all back, saying, only two of you allowed in. There's only one of you allowed in the ring. Get out and all. And then he's climbing through, and just Dalton Castle's expressions were brilliant, on point again. You know, like he's just so funny. And
for me.
Yeah,
I'm falling in love with that character.
Yeah,
I think he's amazing. He reminds me probably like wrestling style a little bit, although I haven't seen too much of him. Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
That hopefully he'll get to that level, because I'm not sure if he is, but just the way he interacts and things of that nature. And yeah, that's what I think. So yeah, back to yourself.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny. I loved the bit as well where they were helping Cheeseburger to just so people don't sort of get mad about, again, hate mail for spoilers and things. One of my favourite spots in the match was when Beer City Bruiser and Brawler Milanos helped Cheeseburger to do the Canadian Destroyer. I thought that was a really cool, funny spot as well.
In terms of spoilers, though, Stephen, this is an ROH TV review. So.
Yeah.
It's
some people, yeah. We've said before about the hate mail, people can still send it, and if people
are sending
up,
your hate mail no, are they? That's just a general
I haven't
question.
Had anything yet, but you never
have
know.
You received ROH hate mail then?
Not just yet.
Let's keep it that way, people.
Exactly.
It's only a joke.
But yeah, I thought that was a really fun, I thought there was some really creative ways of doing the three-way, like the six-man sort of way of doing things. Very Chikara-esque in that sense. Like, it was just like really silly, but fun and creative. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. Again, a departure from the stuff we've seen with Ring of Honor in the past, like the technical side of things. But as we've said before, they can do comedy. Ring of Honor can be really funny at times. And you know, this was one of the examples where they're just really amusing and funny. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Exactly. It's, you know, it, I like how things are. You know, 7 weeks in, we're seeing great matches, we're seeing funny matches, we're getting amazing promos. I'm not quite sure where the hate for Ring of Honor comes from.
Just I don't either.
Completely impartial. Well, for yourself, you've watched it for a lot longer, this kind of incarnation. But I'm 7 weeks in, and the only thing I can think of that's negative is the lack of fans.
Yeah.
But then you run smaller arenas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's the only thing. And I mentioned that on the Fallout review. We mentioned that in the Fallout review. That considering it was in the old ECW arena, the fan support just wasn't there for anything but Bully Ray putting Maria Manic for a table. The next thing is another clip. This is a 5-on-5. Yeah, 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson with Shane Taylor Promotions. So at the time, because this was ROH Unauthorized back in, I want to say, November.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I'm wrong, send your hate mail to Shane Taylor Promotions. Is Shane Taylor, Reverend Ron Hunt, SOS of Moses and Khan, against Colt Cabana, Todd Sinclair, Ian Riccoboni, because, you know, Gator, I think the guy's name was.
Yeah.
And Gary Just.
Gary Jester.
Jester. Okay.
Gary Jester, yeah.
Yeah, that was planned in a different way on the TV. This was funny. Once again, Brian Johnson. Johnson is left on his own because Shane Taylor Promotions don't want any of this. You know, the superstar, the stars across the ring from him. It's obviously too much for Shane Taylor Promotions.
I loved how they all went off at the same time, off the apron exactly the same time. It was like it was just perfect.
And when we talk about something later in the show, it really adds to that promo. So we'll just tease it now, but it really adds clip really adds to that promo. You got Gary, surname again, just
Jester. I say Jester.
Okay, they pronounce it a different way. So Gary Jester, he does a chop on Brian Johnson. Ian Riccoboni hits a sweet elbow drop off the top rope on Brian Johnson. Todd Sinclair does a Ricky Steamboat-esque double chop across the chest. And then Colt Cabana got the pinfall. And once again, it's in clip form, but told the story of the match, which the loser loses the mask clip from the start of the show, told the story of that match as well.
Yeah.
Once again, nothing wrong with this. It's unauthorized. It's a completely random show that's been put together by Colt Cabana just for fun. And yeah, just fun clips, I would say. And throw it to yourself, Stephen. What did you make of this?
Again, I just thought it was really, really funny. Like I just mentioned, when Shane Taylor Promotions just all jumped off the apron backwards at the same time in perfect unison and left Brian Johnson there to take the rap. I thought that was hilarious. And Ian Riccoboni's elbow drop was a Randy Savage level perfection. Like I thought it was he was so on point with it. Like he wouldn't look like he'd be able to do anything that, you know, to say he's not a wrestler or anything, to say that he was able to deliver that elbow drop with such precision, I thought was brilliant. And obviously Todd Sinclair, the big
leapfrog. I mean, wow.
I know. What I'm about to say is that you would never think that Todd Sinclair could do a leapfrog like that, but it was just unbelievable. And, you know, it was just a fun sort of, again, Chikara / PWG sort of you know, comedy, fun match. You know, it was just really fun. It was just fun. It wasn't taking itself seriously. It was just something, you know, what we can all enjoy and we can all, you know, find amusing. And yeah, I thought it was really, really, you know, really, really enjoyable. And that, again, like that leapfrog what Todd Sinclair did. I mean, there are certain, the thing is, there are certain, you know, wrestlers who do wrestling for a living who are able to leap that high. Like, I wasn't, that was what amazed me. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I do want to put a disclaimer into the show. ROH isn't supposed to be fun, okay?
Yeah. deadly serious, Lance Storm, yeah, serious face.
Deadly serious, you know, we've got to have 6-star matches, otherwise it's not very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the next thing was Brian Zane, a friend of the main BBGW pod, come back with another top five. This time it was top five managers in ROH history. Really good list again. We can't go into it as much detail as last time because that took us 20 minutes. So we'll probably just list the names. I'll list the names, and if you've got any immediate thoughts, feel free to share them after I reach number one, Stephen.
Yeah.
So number five is Lacey. And basically she had the beauty and the brains, didn't she? She was a brilliant manager across the board. Number four was Prince Nana, who was brilliant in his own right as well.
Absolutely.
I love the mention of one of the forgotten men of Ring of Honor in this Prince Nana video package, Hurricane John Walters, who he took the ROH Pure title. So that was pretty cool. Number three was Alison Danger. And there was obviously talk about the Prophecy, another forgotten man of ROH, the second ever ROH champion, Xavier. She managed him, and it was nice that he got a shout out in this little video package as well. Number two was Shane Hagedorn, and his resume is fantastic, obviously, taking on the Kings of Wrestling and leading them to tag team championships. And number one is one of my favorite managers of the new millennium, definitely. The House of Truth Martini, based on the people that he's trained, and then obviously did an incredible job taking Jay Lethal to the ROH television championship. And these five managers have left an indelible mark in Ring of Honor and have been really welcomed because they've told their stories in different ways and allowed, you know, the ROH stars to increase their popularity, or they're being hated by the ROH audience. So what did you make of this top five there, Stephen?
Yeah, I thought it was a really strong top five. I was actually surprised that Truth Martini was number one, because I was expecting Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney to actually appear in the countdown, who surprised me. But I guess
you can give him an honourable mention, can't
you? Yeah, I was about to say he deserves an honourable mention on my part.
He was a class act, and, you know, he's sadly missed to this day. One of the guys from a promo perspective that was years ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Probably, like, in the territories day, he would have made a mint.
Exactly.
In terms of money. He was brilliant with who he brought through. And, really, really sad what happened to Larry Sweeney.
So, yeah, just a little honourable mention there. But I thought, to Larry Sweeney, but I thought everyone in this list deserved to be where they were placed. It was great to see a full overview of the Ring of Honor history and people from males and females from the whole history of Ring of Honor, which I thought was really cool. And I like the fact that he mentioned that at the beginning, what was interesting was that Brian Zane said there weren't many managers in Ring of Honor history who like were, you know, sort of standout-ish. But I think there's been a lot from this list. It shows just how many interesting valets and managers have been through Ring of Honor, and also the fact that a lot of people have always criticized Ring of Honor for not being able to have those kind of characters in the company, but yet so many versatile different characters and promo styles and leading different factions, and I thought it was a really cool list.
Keeping a bunch of people going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Prince Nana.
Yeah.
He had, what was it, a dozen different...
Three dozen, I think he said, didn't he? I thought I heard that, yeah. Which amazed me. I mean, because the embassy was around for a heck of a long time and various different incarnations and, you know, he's always been one of my favourites as Prince Nana. And like you, I actually was really pleased that Truth Martini was number one, because first of all, I didn't expect it. And secondly, as you said, he's trained so many wrestlers of this modern era. He's such a great promo. He's such a great classic manager in the sense that you absolutely hate him. And he's got that manager sort of mannerism and persona down to a T, that he just is such a great character that he absolutely deserved to be number one. So yeah, I thought it was a really fun list. And
I'll go completely against the grain.
Because
of who he's had a hand in training.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, you know this business, like the back of your hand. So you know, if you can. Excuse me, if somebody can work with you, you know, in a stable kind of way, or the manager kind of way, then you can take them to the top. I had no kind of query or quarrel that would happen with whoever he worked with, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Not sure how much of that's going to be kept in the show. Sorry, Brian. But yeah, we just wanted to talk about the top five there. A really, really good list.
Yeah.
And yeah, completely agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
So next up was TK O'Ryan. And this was clipped again, so this must have been a longer speech. But once again, I thought ROH editors did a fantastic job of getting across exactly what needed to be got across during a TV kind of time limit. So it got across, you know, that he's had a head injury and he doesn't know what the future is. And it was a heartfelt speech where he thanked the fans and said, if he comes back, then, you know, you're going to see the best version of him. And that was really nice. And obviously a change of pace. You know, this is somebody you've been keeping a close eye on over the years, Stephen. What did you make of this?
I thought it was really, really heartfelt, and I thought it was a really good promo. I mean, he even said in the promo that he hasn't really been on the mic that much. So it was strange to actually hear him talking so candidly and so openly about his situation. And I think if he does have to end his career, I think it's a shame, because he has got a heck of a lot of potential, TK O'Ryan. I mean, I know he's been closely associated with The Kingdom, who we've just mentioned earlier on with Matt Taven. So, but the instances where he's been wrestling on his own, or he's wrestled, you know, strongly in those six-man matches, he's always put in a great performance. And I do hope that it's not the end of his career. I mean, he's young and he's got a lot of potential behind him. And I think it was nice as well that he was able to put over Ring of Honor so strong in his promo as well, and the fact that it meant a lot to him working for Ring of Honor still, even though I know that a lot of people are down on Ring of Honor, it was still like a huge thing for him to be working for Ring of Honor, for the best, as he put it, the best wrestling company in the world, which I thought was really heartfelt, and it really felt like he meant it, which to me was one of the most important things he said. So yeah, I thought it was really...
most important things he said. because of what we're trying to do. But just to just cut you off for a second, we'll come back to that. This is actually a really good time for him if he can get back in the picture.
Yeah.
Because Matt Taven, obviously we said about the right ankle surgery, but I was going to talk about it before then. He's gone one path. Vincent's, gone the other path. And you honestly could see the third member of the kingdom, TK O'Ryan, has got an opportunity to build his own legacy on his own.
Yeah.
Because everyone's split up. So, say, Taven and Vincent are going to be feuding. If he can stay away from that but get brought into it later when he's a bigger star than what he is, then maybe he's got an opportunity to go out on his own and see what he can do. That's what I was thinking. But yeah, really, really good speech. Like you said, spoke strongly about Ring of Honor, which was nice because that's what we're trying to do. And just seemed like a nice, genuine guy who I haven't seen, wrestle yet. And hopefully I get to see that in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. My notes here as well, I was just thinking after what we've seen on today's show and on the previous shows, that ROH Unauthorized just seemed like a really fun show.
Yeah.
Like if you just wanted to just watch wrestling and just laugh and just have fun, I think this is probably the show for you. If you watch it for the super serious 6-star classics, probably not.
Yeah.
And then this, so that was just my note on the matches that I've seen on this, on the ROH and Authorized show so far. Next up was Brian Johnson, and he gave a superb promo.
Yeah.
Talking about, winning the top prospect tournament and then obviously going back to what we saw earlier with the clips and stuff. Hopefully that promo. This promo, sorry, was right after that, which I believe it probably was. And he's talking about being a failure. And he was just super intense and right to the point. And you just believed every word he said. And yeah, I just look at this and once again, this is a guy who's flying under the radar.
Yeah.
But I would put him in the same kind of talk as Shane Taylor as in the first 7 weeks we've seen of ROH TV here in the UK is one of the best promo guys in the company.
Yeah.
And I think I really thought that highly of this promo. What did you think of it, Stephen?
Yeah, I completely agree with your sentiments. I mean, we briefly saw Brian Johnson when he walked in on Ian and Quinn McKay, and then from he made that impact there. And then to see the way this was shot with the mirror and to see him talking, the intensity and the words and just everything. It was just such a... He's one of those people who you can see that spark in where he, like Shane Taylor, where he can just grab your attention. And I think he's a very versatile wrestler. And I mean, I've just been reading about him briefly before we actually came on to the podcast, but I didn't realize he'd been wrestling for as long as he has, so he's got that experience behind him, but now he's got his chance to make it big in Ring of Honor, and he's got the Ring of Honor look, he's got the Ring of Honor style. He'd make a great TV champion, I will say that. Another one of these guys who could start on the TV champion level and then work up to the world title picture. And again, he's one of those guys who with the promo again, I like the fact that the whole focus of the promo, and I haven't said this yet on the podcast, but and I don't know if you'll agree with this when I say it, but what I love about these promos in Ring of Honor is that the whole focus of the promo is on that particular person on the screen. It's like it was all about Brian Johnson. It was like it was his moment and it was his time to talk. Like a lot like the ECW promos where it was that one particular person talking to the screen or talking to the camera, what I really, really liked. Like, there was no backstage shenanigans. There was nothing else going on. It was like just your moment in the spotlight to, go out there and do what you need to say, say what you need to say, and, you know, hit a home run, and it felt like he hit a home run, and he's got to hit the ground running going forward. So, I mean, do you agree with that kind of view of things, or do you have a different view of it?
No, I can see where you're coming from. It's very much like Shane Taylor's promo on Dragon Lee when he said it's not going to be a storybook ending. And yeah, you were like, yep, you've nailed that. You don't have to say anything ever again with what you've just said. You have, you know, you've took this story, you've made it into something more. You have thrown the ROH fans behind Dragon Lee as much as they support Shane Taylor, because obviously he's a cool guy, even though he tries to be hated and stuff. And yeah, you built up, and then for the final battle match, which was obviously superb, and the outcome of the match, and it being match of night, you saw everything in that promo that Shane Taylor did outside, you know, one of the shows, you know, where it was Escape Me and stuff.
Yeah. But
just him talking into the camera and saying what he said. And I do see this in Brian Johnson. I've seen two things now, and now I want to see him wrestle.
Yeah.
I want to see what he can do. You're saying he's got years of experience behind him. He's a brilliant talker. If he's half as good in the ring, then, you know, this could be the star that comes through. I really hope for him that he is that. But yeah, fantastic. Loved every second of it. He really, really nailed it.
Yeah.
And then we're on to the main event, which was contested under Lucha Libre rules. We have Lifeblood of Overkill, Mark Haskins, and Hot Sauce, Tracy Williams, against Brothers Dragon Lee and Roosh. And once again, what I took out of this match, a superb main event.
Yeah.
You know, the critics say that Ring of Honor doesn't do great wrestling anymore. It's a lie. Great chemistry by both sides, and I definitely want to see more. Lifeblood, you know, would bring a great addition to the tag team division again. And obviously Roosh was the ROH world champion at this time. Dragon Lee was yet to be crowned the new ROH world television champion. And yeah, add them both to the tag team division, and then you've got an incredibly strong tag division of people 7 weeks ago I wasn't too familiar with.
Yeah,
but it could be one of the best tag divisions in the pro wrestling industry. It's really got some depth to it if you've watched the matches and you can get behind the stories. Obviously, Josh the Goods Woods and the last real man Silas Young in two guys and one tag, for example, in seven yeah. weeks they've turned themselves into two of our favorite wrestlers, haven't they? So
yeah
I'm really, really impressed with both. If you can definitely add the Lifeblood of Haskins and Williams, who were brilliant chemistry wise in terms of their technical and high flying ability. They did do a jump off the ropes, crisscrossing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just really good. And obviously Dragon Lee and Roosh, have probably been tagging since they were kids in different ways. So they've got great chemistry. And when they're not defending their singles titles, by all means, let's have them against Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, the new ROH World Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
And Lifeblood as well. Let's get them in there. And you've got a really, really strong tag division. And the end of the match come with Roosh pinning Tracy Williams with the bull's horns. But, I think everything I've said. But, yeah, this is one of those matches that we can adds to Alex Shelley and Jonathan Gresham from the debut show. you know, to go along with a couple of other matches that escape mind right now as one of the matches to definitely seek out on this week's ROH TV after you've listened to this podcast with me and Stephen. So that's how highly I thought of it, Stephen. What did you make of it?
I completely agree with you. I mean, I don't think there's much I can add to it, really. I thought the other thing I liked was that the crowd were really into it, which was really fun to see. I haven't seen Roosh and Dragon Lee actually tagging together, so that was a nice novelty to see what they can do as brothers, a bit like the Lucha Brothers, where you see them together and then you see how they work as a unit. And I thought they were great. And Lifeblood, I've seen different sets. So I have seen Mark Haskins and Tracy Williams tag together, but I've seen other members of Lifeblood tagging together as well. So because obviously there's more than just these two in Lifeblood. So they're both really strong wrestlers in their own right. And I thought they just, like you said, the chemistry was solid and it was straight on. And it was just a great tag team main event. And if people don't think Ring of Honor can do tag team wrestling, then they've got to see this match, because this is what, you know, they're able to do. And I will say as well that, and it still always amazes me how he's able to do it, but that head scissors, what Dragon Lee does, where he jumps over the apron and then he does it to the floor. Like, I don't know how many times I see that spot, but it just, like, it's just insane how he's able to do that. Just the athleticism he's got is just incredible. Like, so yeah, I thought it was
when he's done it in Impact, isn't it?
Yeah. So I thought it was a great, strong main event, and I thought it was a really strong close to the show. And I just, a bit like Gresham and Alex Shelley, as Oliver's just said, just go out and seek this match, because, and this whole show, I thought this whole show was fun. I thought it was a really easy show to sit through. Fun, lots of variety, and definitely check it out, and especially the main event, because the main event, again, is one of these matches that you have to see, because we don't do it justice to just how good it is.
Yeah. And this was from Unauthorized as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you had all the fun aspects that we've seen so far, and this was this the main event of the show?
Yeah, I think they said that it was the main event. Yeah,
It was the actual main event. It just wasn't. It wasn't just the main event of this ROH TV show.
Yeah, I think it was the main event of the actual Unauthorized show, because Roosh was the world champion at that point. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you had a lot of fun and a superb main event. Just brilliant. Really, really, really impressed with this. Okay. I'll wrap it up for tonight's ROH TV review for myself. If you'd like to support me and, my books, I am a free-time pro wrestling author. I've got two books on which have Ring of Honor in them, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, and A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. Stephen owns both copies, so I should probably throw it over to him to tell you how good they are.
they're great books. Yeah.
Self-promotion aside. They are available on fansperspective.bigcartel.com, signed by myself, or you can go the Amazon route, paperback and Kindle, download the Kindle instantaneously, and they're available for free, if you're counting those pennies, on Kindle Unlimited. And for Stephen, we have his amazing articles that I'm sure he'd like to promote, and any ROH positivity you can send to his Twitter handle.
Oh, it's all changed now before Christmas. All goodwill to all men and everything. It's all changed. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
So if you'd like to... Yeah, sorry?
Wait till April.
Yeah. It's coming. If you understand
that joke, ladies and gentlemen.
I do.
Very good. As you were, Stephen.
So if you'd like to follow me and send me any hate mail, positivity, or anything in between, you can find my Twitter handle at stj215. And if you'd like to read any of my articles, I'm a member of a wrestling website, The Wrestling Estate. And if you type into Google The Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find us. We cover all aspects of the industry. We cover WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Impact, Ring of Honor, and the independent scene. And you're also able to find us on Twitter, where we're under the handle at The Wrestling Est. So that's at The Wrestling EST. And yeah, just to mention as well that we also do our weekly roundtables. So each of the members of the team cover we get a series of questions asked, and each of us answer each of the questions. And they're always fun discussions, which always get shared weekly. So yeah, so just come and check out The Wrestling Estate and come and follow me at SteveJ215.
Very good. And for the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast main handles and stuff, we first of all have a partnership with Powerslam.tv. You can watch over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling on one of the best streaming services around. Yeah, on the club aside, that's got 140 plus promotions. Unfortunately, no Ring of Honor at this present time. But you can have a month free on us using the code BROKENFREE. For the main Broken But Glorious hub on Twitter, it's at BBG Wrestling. For the podcast, it is at BBGW Pod. And for the website, it is bbgwrestling.com. And hopefully I've mentioned everything, because like I said, I'm very tired. And yeah, that brings an end to tonight's show. We shall be back next Monday for episode 8. And hopefully you'll have a great Christmas and you'll join us then.
Yeah. Hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas. And just before we close as well, thank you, as it's the time for goodwill to all men and everything. And I'm sure Oliver agrees. Thank you for all of the support and all of the listens and likes and shares that everyone has given this podcast over the past 7 weeks. It's been amazing. We just love doing it every Monday and when we get chance, as we did with Final Battle. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll see you for the new, well, just before the new year. So thank you.
Yeah. Echo Stephen's thoughts. To have, you know, the likes and retweets, especially on Twitter from some of the ROH wrestlers, shows, you know, we're doing the right thing here by trying to put a positive spotlight on the company that's, you know, going through some tough times. And, you know, like I said at the end of, it was the Final Battle review.
Yeah.
And saying that me and Steven are on a club VIP members who have put our money where our mouths are. And yeah, we believe in the product and believe that, you know, you should give it a chance like we have over the last 7 weeks with the two previews and the one pay-per-view and the one, you know, live tour show. And we don't, you know, we don't think we've wasted any time at all. And it's not just been the time that we've talked. It's been the countless hours editing and listening and then publishing as well. So a lot's gone into these last 7 shows, TV-wise, and, you know, 2 previews and 2 reviews as well. So we're up to 11 altogether. Lots gone into it, but we're really astounded with the support and, you know, the likes, the retweets and the listens and the support in general has been amazing. And now I'm just babbling on. But yeah, you kind of see where we're coming from. We're very, very thankful.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, to those who celebrate, Merry Christmas, and to those who don't, just happy holidays. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Keep your, you know, hopefully everyone has a safe and a good you know, holiday.
Yep.
Period.
And absolutely.
Yes, we will be back next Monday with episode 8. And that's good night from myself and from Stephen.
Good night, everyone, and have happy holidays.
Good night, everyone. Happy holidays. Bye for now.
Bye.